Man, thanks for playing that song. That was one of my favorites. So thank you for that. I'd like to extend my welcome as well to those of you that are visiting. My name is Daniel McKinney, and I get to pastor this church, and I love it. So glad that I'm here. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us. We are on the next to the last sermon in Ecclesiastes. I'm kind of excited about this one. This is a fun one. I mean, I think they're all kind of fun. But I'm excited about this one in particular. If you're visiting, obviously you miss a lot of it. But here's the gist of Ecclesiastes. Here's what we've been saying for quite some time now. Is that control is an illusion. Trust God. And what Solomon has been saying throughout Ecclesiastes, he's like, look, God has given you these amazing gifts to enjoy because he's good. And so the gifts that God has given us, nature, wisdom, sex, money, power, good books even, those are all good things. But enjoy them, don't use them to try to control life, because that's an illusion. Everything that you use to try to make life work on your own, it's like vapor, Solomon says. We grasp onto it, and it just goes right through your fingers. This morning, Solomon is calling us to be honest about youth and death, one of America's favorite subjects. But it's this beautiful way of saying, look, you're limited. You're limited. You're human. And there's limits that come with it. So pay attention to that as you hear from God's word this morning. I'll be reading Ecclesiastes 11 through chapter 12, verse 8. This is God's true word to us, and he has given it to you in love. Solomon writes this, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vapor. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vapor. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit, or breath, returns to God who gave it. Vapor of vapors, says the vanity. All is vapor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Father, we do ask that you would meet us in this time. Grab our hearts on the spot. Lord, change us in our seats. Remind us of who you are and how good you are. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I'm gonna talk about something that I've never talked about before. Dave Matthews Band. I've been to a couple of concerts. And one of the times I was at one of these. Now look, I know that not all of you are DMB fans. So, you know, whatever your favorite concert be, a Big Wreck, Beastie Boys, Avett Brothers, you know, imagine yourself there, right? You're in this concert, and imagine you're at Red Rock, right? Like this beautiful amphitheater, nature all around. It's a gorgeous view, and you're there at this concert, and you're enjoying it, right? Like you're into it, swaying with the music, trying to dance, and you look to your left, and there's this young couple, and they're dancing together. And you're like, oh, man, that's sweet. Like, you know, guy and girl, early 20s. But then you look a little closer. And what you notice is that the dude has one arm around his girlfriend or wife or whoever it was. And back behind her, he's holding up his phone, looking at Facebook. Now, he is surrounded by beauty. This young lady that he's dancing with, this amazing band, the glory of Red Rocks, and he's missing all of it because he's focused on something that makes no sense. Not that Facebook, well, no, Facebook is bad. I'll just say it. Get off of it. Like, just quit. X all of it. Just be done. And what Solomon is saying to you and to me, the warning that he's giving us, the challenge that he's giving us, is don't miss the beauty and the enjoyment and the abundance of life's goodness, of God's goodness to you, his good gifts to you. Because there will come a day, and this is what he's saying at the end of the passage, if you can bring up starting at chapter 12, verse 1 for me, Addy. Go one more page for me. There it is. What he's saying here is like, look, your days are limited. Your days are limited. Don't waste your time missing the beauty and the gifts of God's goodness by trying to control life. Remember, we've done this whole thing kind of, the running illustration has been the sandcastle, right? And so Solomon is imagining all of us sitting on the beach. We've built this amazing sandcastle. And then we go to, we see the tide coming in. The wind is blowing hard. And we go to get up to try to protect it. And as we're getting up, we realize we're not moving quite as fast as we used to. We're moving a little bit slower. And so as Solomon is getting to the end of his life and he's looking back, what he's saying to you and me is, look, don't regret the beauty of life. It is yours to enjoy. So I'm actually going to start with kind of what it means to get older. And then I'll go back to the beginning of the passage. So Solomon says this, starts in verse 1. Remember also your creator in the days of your youth. Now, it's interesting to me that he uses the word creator and doesn't say remember God. What's he doing here? He uses creator on purpose because what he's trying to get us to remember is this creator-creature distinction. That God has created you. You are his creation. And what Solomon says several times throughout Ecclesiastes is that sometimes being human is a burden, remember? Like we've brought this on ourselves because of our sin. But he's saying, remember your limitations. Remember that you are limited. Remember that you are vulnerable. And what he said time and time again is that this is wisdom. This is wisdom to remember this. Wendell Berry, who's one of my, he's one of my favorite all-time authors. I'm kind of summing him up here. One of the books I'll never write will be What Wendell Berry Taught Me as a Pastor. And he's just so good about so many things. But listen to what he says about limits and mortality. Berry encourages an acceptance of human limits and mortality. He critiques the modern human condition of running from death into a far worse living state of our own creation. Instead, he advocates for embracing our brief existence joyfully and with full awareness. He argues that perfection is an illusion. Thank you for saying that. He argues that perfection is an illusion, that a healthy life requires accepting imperfection, infinitude. This acceptance of limits is not a surrender, but a way to find contentment and purpose. It's okay to know that you're limited. It's okay to know that you're vulnerable. Because what that does then is it actually brings us to a contentment, to a trust, controls and illusions, trust God, and to enjoy what he has given you. So Solomon goes on to write, he says, you know, before the evil days come and the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And then he starts going into some metaphors, right? Verse 2, he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened. So think about that for a second. What he's saying is that every form of light is going out. And that after it rains, and the clouds return after the rain, after the rain, it's not that the sun comes out, it's that there's more clouds. In other words, you're getting old. And that's a reality. I'll say more about that. I'm not just going to leave you there. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, that's just a picture of our bodies growing weaker. And the grinders cease because they are few. We lose our teeth. My grandmother lived to be 100 years old. She lost all her teeth when she was 65. And she lived, her diet was fried catfish and Pepsi. And she had a styrofoam cup with a wet paper towel around it for her snuff. That's how I remember her. But man, she loved life. All right, so the grinder sees her teeth. Those who look through the windows are dim. So that's our eyesight, right? I had LASIK surgery several years ago. And for about 2 years, I had 20/20 vision. And now I have 50-year-old eyes. And so as I'm standing up here this morning, I have one contact in, so that I can see all of you, but then no contact in so that I can see my iPad. The doors on the street are shut. That could either be ears or lips, so we don't hear as well. Probably not hear as well, because the next phrase is when the sound of the grinding is low. One rises up at the sound of a bird. I hear that as you get older, you wake up early. I wouldn't know because I hate early mornings. All the daughters of song are brought low. And then verse 5, very practical. They're afraid of what is high, right? You get afraid. Terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. If you have hair, it turns white. That's what Solomon is saying here. Because man is going to his eternal home. You're going to die. And then there's a funeral. And then verses 6, the silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, the wheel broken at the cistern. Those are just images of the body just breaking down. And it's a reality that we have to face. We try to avoid that reality, but we can't. We can't control it. It's an illusion. And then there will be a day when we will just return to being dust. And the spirit, or the breath, returns to God who gave it. Vapor of vapors, says the preacher. All is vapor. Now, what I hope is that for some of you sitting in this room, you're thinking, well, what's the point? I mean, look, as a 50-year-old, I get it, and I feel it somewhat often, mainly because of my kids. They remind me that I'm not as young as I used to be. That from here on out, things are kind of downhill. And I'm only 50. Some of you are older than I am, and that is not that old. What Solomon is saying here, he's talking about folks that really are like closer to death, right? When he uses the word youth here, it's so relative. I mean, that can be anywhere from 13 to, I mean, my dad's 83, and he still fishes and hunts and gets up on the roof. And I mean, there's folks that you guys know that are older, that are like in their 90s, and they're changing out toilets. Like, that is a real thing. So this isn't about, well, you get to a certain age and your life is done. Like, he's not saying that. What he is saying, though, however, is that regardless of where you are in this, in whatever age that might be, that actually is your youth. And what he says in verse 7, if you can go back to the beginning, Addie, light is sweet and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. I don't know if you noticed that when we were reading, the key words here, he says rejoice and remember in verse 8, and then rejoice again in verse 9, and then remember again in verse 1. He's telling us to hold these things in tension. Yes, and enjoy the days of your youth. And be aware of your limits and your vulnerabilities. Y'all, I took another spill on my mountain bike yesterday. And it was pretty bad. I got a nice bruise. I can't ride like I used to. And I have so much fun when I'm out there. Like, I am so enjoying it. I got my iPhone on the handlebars with my 90s rock, and I'm having the time of my life. So Solomon's command, right? God does this. I don't know if y'all have thought about this before, but God actually commands joy. When he talks about the feasts in the Old Testament, he's like, enjoy it. Think of the Matanza last week. To enjoy that. To enjoy good food. To enjoy being around good people. To enjoy listening to good music. And remember that there are going to be days of darkness. And you can't control that. He says, all that comes is vapor. Whether it's in your youth or in older age, you cannot control it. Can you believe? Can you honestly believe that God takes pleasure when you enjoy life? That he gives you good gifts to enjoy. It's hard. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters, you may remember, it's an older demon giving advice to a new demon, a younger demon. And so it's this play on everything's opposite about who God is, who Jesus is, what he's like. But the older demon says this. He's talking about God. He says, God's a hedonist at heart. All those vigils and stakes and crosses, they're only a facade. Out at sea, out in his sea, there is pleasure and more pleasure. He has a bourgeois mind. He has filled his world full of pleasures. There are things for humans to do all day long without him minding in the least. There are pleasures for you to enjoy all day long without him minding in the least. What Solomon has been saying almost from the very beginning of this book, and he says it several times, remember? He says, be joyful. Enjoy good food. Enjoy good drink. Enjoy your work. Because these are the gifts of God. To be joyful, to find pleasure in his gifts. He even says earlier back in chapter 2, he says that you can find pleasure in pleasure. So you are free. You're free to enjoy nature and money and knowledge and sex and drink and power and children and good clothes even. So the issue for us is not that God is a killjoy, because he's not. The issue for us is that we take those things, we try to control life with them because we don't believe that God is really good, and that's what we've been doing from day one. This is what Adam and Eve do. It's not about eating fruit. It's about them saying to themselves, I don't trust you, God, in your goodness, in your good gifts, in your pleasure, and so I'm going to control it myself. One of the books I've been reading as we have gone through Ecclesiastes is titled Living Life Backwards. And his encouragement through that book is like to start with death and then kind of live life backwards from that. And he says this. I think this is interesting. He says, not to live gladly, joyfully, and not to drink deeply from the wells of abundant goodness that God has lavished on us is sin. And it's sin because it's a denial of who God is. And that is the lie that we've been believing from day one. I mean, I don't know if you believe in Satan or not. I do. And I think what he says, he's like, look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm just going to keep going on with this because humans keep buying it. That God keeps from us. That he holds back from us. And so when we believe that lie, then our only option is to try and control everything, even the good things that God has given us. Now, there is an antidote, and it's back in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Again, we're not just talking about, you know, the wasted youth on young people. We're talking about all of us. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes. Do you do that? And look, now there's a thing after that, right? But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. What Solomon is trying to say to you is like, look, God has given you so much. I mean, it's like the Garden of Eden. You've got all this. Just don't eat of this. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve do. And he says the same thing to you. You have so much. Are there a few prohibitions in the Bible? Absolutely. I mean, if you're a parent, you know this, right? Like you want so many good things for your kids, and there are things that they can't do. I wonder sometimes if like we have a t-shirt underneath that says, I can't, I'm Christian. Like, we need to get rid of that t-shirt, y'all. There is so much that God has given us. So many good things. But what we do in verse 10, and so this is why the command to remove it, remove vexation. So that's anger, grief, frustration. Remove it from your heart and put away pain or harm or evil from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vapor. You know this. We all know this to some degree. Sin does not bring you joy. It might at the beginning. That first look at porn on the computer, that first drink that leads to other things. I was talking to someone earlier, and they said that in the midst of their alcoholism, it destroyed their soul. I was like, man, that is an apt descriptor. It's exactly what Solomon is saying here. When we're selfish, when we're greedy, those things don't bring us joy. They harm us. And yet we're so addicted to them because we think we have to control things that's just what we keep going after. We're the dude dancing with a guy with Facebook. This seems so much better right now, but it's not. You know this. I know this. So that's why Solomon, in his encouragement, is saying to remove it and to rejoice. The God of the universe did not become incarnate, live a normal life. Well, I mean, he did the human normal life. Not everything was normal. He wasn't crucified. He wasn't resurrected. He wasn't ascended into heaven so that you and I can grow up to be old, grumpy people. He did it to set you free, to enjoy, to rejoice. Y'all, literally, Jesus is calling you and me to enjoy the hell out of life. That's what he gives us. He has freed us to that degree. All right. So what do you do? What are you going to do? Here's my encouragement to you. Live your life. Live your life enjoying the good gifts that God has given you. I wrote a few ideas down. Maybe this will resonate with some of you. Be a mom. Be a dad. Play with your kids. Serve at God Cares About You mission. Go save lives, whether it's on the streets of Albuquerque or in an ER. Make love to your spouse. Coach volleyball. These are in no particular order, by the way. Go play music. Go listen to music. Sing a song. Drink a nice cup of coffee and say the Lord's Prayer. Read or listen to a good book. Be a speech pathologist. Be a computer engineer. Play soccer. Go mountain bike. Go watch Marvel movies. Go work on somebody's ankle or neck. Plan finances for other people. Run a gym. Nurse someone back to health. Put a satellite in space. And help engineer said satellite. Help people get in shape. Study birds. Play golf. Take care of other people's kids. Go inspect gas lines all across New Mexico. Protect the country. Teach other teachers. Go sell real estate. Love your grandkids. Go to another country and tell them about Jesus. Adopt a child. Adopt a dog. Study law. Be a counselor. Take care of the dying. That's what a lot of you are already doing. And my fear is that you don't see those things as God's gift to you. And they are. And they matter. I'll talk more about this next week, but when he says back in verse 9, the end of it, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. That is not about fear. or condemnation. That is about giving things value. That what you do, God judges, and he gives value to it. And it matters to him. He takes pleasure in your pleasure. So do these things, all the things that you're already doing. Do these things because it matters. They matter to God. They matter to the world. The world does not need you to be a radical. It does not need you to be on fire. It does not need you to be inspirational or spiritual, whatever that means. The world needs you to enjoy the way God has gifted you and the way he's created you. Look, you guys know this. The world's a little crazy right now. Again, I mean, you know, I've said this before, there's no such thing as a golden age. Like, it's always been something. And so the world doesn't need you to fight culture wars. It doesn't need you to let everyone know what your politics are. It doesn't need you to tell everyone what your opinion is on everything. It just needs you to rejoice. We have got to be the one group of people that brings joy to this world. And the way that we do it is believing that God gives us not only permission to do that, but he commands it, and he wants you to enjoy these things. Man, let's pray that that happens. I recognize we can't just muster it up on our own. Nothing about the gospel, we can muster it up on our own. But man, what if we started praying to that end? And the joy that Jesus has over us, it just starts to seep out of us into this joyless world. Let's pray together. Father, help us to this end. Life is hard. And there is darkness. But it doesn't win. It never does. You win. So remind us of the reality of that. That we would be a people that enjoys you, enjoys life, enjoys one another. Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.